I tell you what, it sure is nice to hear that rain, isn't it? Being in Kalinga and having rain is nice in itself. Living in the parsonage with the tin roof, it sounds so good out there. I just love it. But I love hearing the rain, and my inner youth wants to go skiffboarding in the back parking lot. My older self says, don't you dare. Praise God for the rain that he's giving us. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, as I was sitting and praying, and it came to my mind, Father, a desire, that desire to be in your presence. And I know that we've heard it said before, let us feel your presence in such a way that we are standing on holy ground. And it's almost become a coined type of a phrase, if you will. But like Moses was in your presence, it truly was holy ground because you were there. And I pray that you will draw us, each one of us, into your presence this morning, that we would be intimately, just spiritually, within our heart of hearts, within our own spirit, just connecting and focusing on you and being in your presence. And I pray that we will know that we are talking with you and listening to you and communing with you, and that when we leave, that we'll know that we have individually in our own hearts have met with you in a way that has just blessed our hearts, but more than that, in a way that's caused our hearts to give you praise and give you glory. I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will just do the things you want to do in and through this message, and the specific things, Father, that are zeroed in my mind, I ask, Father, please, that you would communicate them in a way that people will maybe see something in your word differently than they've seen before, that they'll walk away with that nugget of some spiritual truth that they can praise you again for. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is The Best Way to Advance God's Work. The best way to advance God's work. We know this already through scripture that says that we are to do all things with love. Anything that's done without love is not worth anything. If we don't do things out of love, it's not worth anything. And that has become something that's so simple and so almost generic to acknowledge. And what I'm saying is that we know this. We know that Scripture has made it plain that if we do anything outside of love, it's not worth it. But love reflects the motive. And if we're not doing things out of God's love in our own heart, doing what God leads us to do with a right heart, then it's empty. And so we can do a bunch of things for the Lord, but if it's done without a heart of love, it's not counted as anything. And we think about the scriptures that say that one day our lives are going to be judged, and everything that we've done will pass through a furnace, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians, I believe, that the things that were done with a right heart will prove themselves out and will come out the other side of the furnace not being harmed, not being burned up, and God will give the appropriate reward and acknowledgement for doing that work in a way that is pleasing to him. So when we do God's work, we should always do it in love. I'm going to ask a couple of questions here just to start this off just a little bit. And the first is that, could we agree that the more thankful we are for someone, the more prone we are to love them? Now, I kind of transitioned from last week, giving thanks and being thankful for all the things that we talked about ultimately, and most importantly was our heart of thankfulness for our relationship with Jesus, right? That's what we should be thanking God the most for, is our one-on-one relationship with Christ. So if we're thankful for that, then transition to the message today. If we're thankful for someone, we see value in someone, we're appreciating someone and their conduct, their attitude, their heart reflection, if you will, we in time are more prone to love them. That's what makes you love somebody. You like them to start off with, right? And so, in other words, the more we like someone, we may find ourselves to naturally find ourselves loving them, right? Sequence. We like them, we're prone to love them. In other words, the more we like them, the more we're going to naturally find ourselves most likely loving them. So it would be fair to say that we can love someone that we like. Now, this is rhetorical almost. This is too simplistic, I know, but there's a point to this, okay? There's a good point. Maybe I should preface it with that. And the point is that we love people because we initially like them. We're thankful for them. We like them. And our hearts grow and we grow to love them that much the more. But the truth is that we don't love those we dislike. Isn't that right? I mean, in reality, that's just human nature. We do not love those that we dislike. Yet, what has God called us to do? God has called us to love all people. And so there's a conflict between our flesh and the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. The conflict is, I've told you to love all people, not to categorize them, not to put them in different areas of these people are socially acceptable, these people aren't, these people have this standard, these people have this standard, and start dividing all these people into different formats and choose whom we're going to love or whom we're going to respect. When in essence, we need to remember that all people were created in God's image. You might say, well, what's the importance of that? When the importance is that because we're made in God's image, we're reflecting Him to a certain degree. Human beings reflect certain spiritual elements of God. And without getting into too much detail about that, the most important fact is as you and I know, that the most important aspect to God's creation are people. And God, of course, died for everybody. He sent His Son to die for everyone. And there's no greater love than a man should die for another, right? Lay down his life for another. So we know this. This is all fundamental. We understand that. Yet there are people that we dislike or that we choose that we will not associate with for whatever reasons. And God has called you and I as Christians to love all people. So how are we going to do that? In Galatians 5:14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so, again, we come to what God's commanded. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's easily heard, not easily executed. Because there's a specific point that God is making. He's not just saying love people. He's saying love people as yourself. So that means that when I would want to be treated a certain way, or if I'm in a certain circumstance and I needed help, or whatever the case is, if I was in that person's shoes in their situation, as much as possible, I'm to show them love by interacting with them and being there for them. And so we're to love people the way we would want to be treated. That takes a determination and a decision to be sacrificial. It means that we are to deny ourselves for the sake of other people. And we're to step in when it's inconvenient. All those types of things, we know that. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." There's the example. We're starting to shift from the normal way we love people is because we are thankful for them, we like them, we grow to love them and appreciate them, right? God says, you know, love all people, love everyone. And how do we do that? We do that because God loved us. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, what do we learn by God's love for us? That God's love for us was unconditional on our part. God just showed His love to us because He loves us. He didn't show His love to us because He liked our behavior or that He liked our belief system or that whatever the case is. It wasn't a criteria that He said, there's someone that I can love. It wasn't based on that at all. It was simply God showing His love. And when you and I, by faith, have said, you know what? I realize that God loves me. We heard it in the gospel, for God so loved the world, right? The fact that we're part of that world, where the world represents people. And so here God showed His love, not just collectively for the whole world, but for me individually, and I can apply that. And so if God so loved us, which He did, it says in 1 John 4:11, we also ought to love one another. So the springboard to loving people that we dislike
or loving people that we don't know is reflecting upon how God loved us when we didn't know him or love him. And so there's a standard that begins to shift. It's not about the who and the what and what I like. It's about God loved me and I know that and I didn't deserve his love. And God wants us to exhibit that kind of love to all people. And so we need to understand that. We're to take note that loving one another refers to loving all people, right? And we're to do this by examining what I call this morning an unnatural phenomenon. Why is it an unnatural phenomenon? Because to love all people, whether you like them or not, is not a natural state for human beings. But it is a natural characteristic of God. And you and I are living temples of God. As believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit's come lives in our heart. And because we're living temples of God, and because we're children of light, we're called to share that love with people. Not in a phony way, but in a genuine way. And the only way we can keep it genuine is by reflecting on the love relationship that we have with Christ, even more specifically, identifying how God demonstrates his love toward us on a one-on-one basis in our lives. Do you know what I'm saying? We can say, God, I didn't expect your love through that situation, but I saw your love. I didn't expect your forgiveness or your mercy, but I found it because of your love. I didn't expect for you to come that close to me, but I know it's because you love me. And so we start realizing that through our experience with Christ, that the way he shows us love or mercy or forgiveness or kindness or provision or interaction in our lives, that example is what we're supposed to be using to love other people. In Galatians 5:6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." Now, that's not the focus of the verse that I'm looking at this morning. But faith working through love. Now, that's an interesting verse. That statement, faith, what does that mean? Faith working through love. There seems to be almost a link of disconnection there. There doesn't seem to be a link between love and faith, love working through, or faith working through love. When we learn how God loves us, we accept the fact that God is loving us by faith. It's by faith that we realize that God gave his son for us, John 3:16. By faith, we say, God loved me enough to die for me. Wow. That's by faith we realize that. By faith, we realize in our daily walk with Christ that the Spirit of God is alive and working in my heart because he loves us. And as we accept that by faith, we don't deny it. We don't say, well, that's nonsense. We don't say, well, I don't believe it. We say, look, something's happening in my heart of heart, in my own spirit with God, that's revealing God's love for me, and I see it in the way he relates to me, and I believe it, and that's faith. Why? Because I don't see God, and you don't see God. Right? Where faith is believing in that which we can't see. We can't see the Lord. Yet we know the Lord. And then we experience his love and we experience his interaction in our lives. And as we see that, we believe that because we know it's real. We know it's from him. And so our hearts begin to swell up and go, God really does love me. And the more our minds wrap around that, the more our faith grows in him because we see his love. Now that love working, that faith, believing in him that God really does love me. People might say, God can't love me. God can't forgive me. God can't, you fill in the line. Well, God can because he does love you, right? It's not about whether I like your actions. It's not whether you fit my standards. It's not whether I choose that you fit the right group, because it has nothing to do with that, because we cannot be acceptable to God on our own. We're only acceptable to God the Father through faith in his son, Jesus. And so as we learn that God loves us, we're actually practicing faith. And that faith enables us to work love toward other people. I know God loves me because, fill in the blank, I experienced this from him.
You know, when you feel the comfort of God's hand, when you recognize the Holy Spirit interacting in your life, and you start to see God working with you. I have this thought in my mind, and some of you have heard it before, and I always hate to sound redundant, but I have to go there because I need something real here in this message that's a life example, right? But, so forgive me, as some of you have heard this, but when I was pastoring my first church in Merced, it was what I called my boot camp church. It was rough. It was rough. And I remember one day I was just fit to be tied. And the new Walmart was opening up in Madera. And Kathy and I, the kids, headed down there, and I was in a foul mood. And I said, "You and the kids just go in there. I don't want to go in." "Fine. It's better off." So then I got out of the car and I walked around to the back of Walmart. And I sat down on the curb. And I just began to pray and weep before God. I just said, "God, I can't do it. It's too hard. It's so maddening, so upsetting. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Don't have the strength." And it's one of those life markers. That's what I'm sharing. It's a life marker in my life that I refer to like I am this morning. Whereas I sat there and I wept on the curb, I very earnestly felt that on my right shoulder. And a very calm, still voice, the Spirit of God saying, "It's going to be all right, Terry." Now, God is God. He's Almighty God. He's creator of everything that there is. And he took the time and seeing me in all of his magnificence and going, "I'm putting my hand on your shoulder and I'm telling you, it's going to be okay, Terry." Now, that was my experience, one of many, that God revealed his love for me. And I believe that it wasn't just something I fabricated in my mind, but that I acknowledged that was really the Spirit of God ministering to me. And I knew it in my heart of heart. You see, by faith, I accepted that God was doing that. And by that faith, I realized God's love. I didn't deserve that, but God gave it. And so as we begin to learn how God loves us, and we acknowledge that by faith, then through that, because God loves us, and we experience that love, then we can work doing the work he's called us to do, letting him love through us. We can't love people on our own. If it is, it's a shallow love. It's a worldly love. It's not God's love. It's a conditional love. But the only way to love people unconditionally, regardless of who they are, is by God's Spirit that indwells us. And so for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Because I know what you've done in my life, you are working through me to show love to people. By faith, I know how loving you are, and therefore I see you working through me to love people because you love me, because you love me. True, genuine faith is demonstrated when we give mercy or unmerited love or forgiveness to others. The only way we're going to show mercy or unmerited love or forgiveness to others is by remembering and reflecting on God's unmerited love toward us and his forgiveness toward us. So if we can say, "Look, I know God loves me and I don't deserve it, and I know God has forgiven me and I don't deserve it, then I know that I've experienced that in Christ and that's increased my faith, and because of that, I'm going to exhibit that same type of mercy and forgiveness and kindness and love to other people because God has done that for me." You see, and so it's how God is shaping us and molding us to be the people he's called us to be. But true mercy or unmerited love is generated by love from God to us and through us. True mercy or unmerited love, undeserved love, is generated by love from God to us and through us. I know God loves me.
And because that is so great, he teaches me how to love others. And that's what God has called us to do. Now, the devil would say, you know what? Oh, preacher, preach the message on love today. Isn't that sweet? That, you know, that's just a simple, simple love message. Oh, isn't that good? He got off the hook that week there. That's easy. You know what I mean? But everything, God says, everything is to be done in love. Without it, it's empty, it's vain, it's useless. That's what it means. So the enemy wants to water down the importance of love. God says, I died for you out of love. And because of that, I want you to love people. Because that's where I'm going to do my work. I've chosen you. He's chosen us to be the vessel that he wants to work through to demonstrate his love. Love isn't compromising God's word. Love is sharing truth with a humble heart. Love is kind. And we know the fruit of the Spirit is based on love. Faith working through love in Galatians 5:6 tells us, which as Galatians 5:6 tells us, that we are to reflect our new nature in Christ. If we're doing what God has called us to do, again, Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. When people see us loving others in ways that the world doesn't naturally love, then what are they seeing? They're seeing the new nature of Christ in us. So what are we seeing? We're seeing God form us and shape us into something new. Putting off the old man, putting on the new. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I believe God's word. You believe God's word. But then the challenge is, if we believe God's word, how much do we adhere to the truth of God's word? I believe that God said to me, it's going to be all right, Terry. That was still God's word. He still spoke to me. It didn't contradict anything in God's word. It was an experience that was real, that was in line with God's word, because it reflected God's love and compassion and tenderness of heart. And so as we experience the things of God in our lives, as we accept what God tells us, it's through those things that God will effectively work in us who believe in him, who trust in him, who acknowledge him, who know that he is who he is in our lives, and whom we've grown to love because he loved us. In 1 John 4:19-21, it says, we love him because he first loved us. I mean, if we're to walk away with anything from this message, remember that it's not conditional. We're to love people because we've experienced that God loved us first. We didn't love him first, and he said, okay, I'll love you back. He loved us, and then we chose whether to love him. And because of that, we are to give that type of love to other people. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That word brother is not a specific brother. In other words, you might debate, is that just for the believer? No, this is a categorical statement. This is saying, love mankind. Love your neighbors around your block. Love your coworkers. Love your family and God. Love people around you and that God introduces you to. Of all standards. So it's not restricted. It's a general statement. Love all people. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us,
You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We start seeing ourselves caring about people that the world doesn't get why we care about them. We might minister to somebody that God has laid on our heart that we don't know. And they might say to you, and you might have heard testimony, why did you do that? Well, because God wants me to love you. God wants me to show you his love because he showed me his. Loving all people is not easy. Right? But it is the character of God. Scripture tells us that the first and foremost, we should be loving one another in the household of faith. But we are to love all people. The evidence of our being a new creation in Christ is seen by the great work of God's love for each of us and that he does through us. Love is inseparable from our faith. You hear that? Love is inseparable from our faith. If we declare faith in God and we're not loving, then something's wrong. The link is broke. Because if I'm saying I have faith in God, it means that I believe God loves me undeservedly. I believe God when he interacts in my life personally, that it was him. I believe the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, working in my life. And when we believe that and we have that faith and we don't exhibit love, not only for him, because we can say, look, you know what? My mom used to say this, the old school. You know, religion and politics belong in the closet. What a lie. You keep your faith in the closet, what good is it? It doesn't demonstrate love. And if you want me to step on the line of politics and say, look, we have a responsibility to stand up for what is in accordance to God's word, the best that we can, being the light that God's called us to be in the world that we live in. And that's not wrong. That's good. That's good. And so in James 2:8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. If we love our neighbor, we are doing right. I got some neighbors. You know, the police will say this. If you hear a car going down the road with a heavy bass and super loud where your house is vibrating, the houses around you are vibrating, there's a good possibility, especially if they're going up the alley, there's a good possibility that this is sounding the horn, I got drugs, I'm ready to sell, you come by. You see people that are going up and just scanning your neighborhood. I saw a guy on a little lowrider bike. And he's pulling a big toy behind him and had some other stuff on the front of his bike. And it was at a time when people were going on the lawns and just stealing stuff. Now, I could, in my own natural state, just get really mad. In fact, okay, I don't like it. It made me mad. But here's the line. Do I look at that person with a great disdain that throws love out the window? Or do I look at that person with a heart that's broken that says, that kid needs the hope of the love of Christ in their life? Now that sounds religious. That sounds pious. But really, when we're talking about gangs, they have no hope. They have no hope of a real future or a real family to offer them something. So they invest in that gang. But if they learn that God is their hope, God loves them, God has a future and a purpose for them. See, those are the lenses that you and I are supposed to be looking through. So the only thing, sometimes you can't just step out there. Sometimes you're scared to step out there. You know, hey, stop that. What do you think you're doing? You know what I'm saying? Just be realistic. We worry about that, right? But we can begin to pray with an earnest, loving heart. and that God would bring people in their lives that would change the life and the course that they're on. And so if we love our neighbor, we're doing what's right. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of faith and love. We do not love people because we simply love God. We love people because God loved us. Instead, God's presence will love people through us. I had to think about this for a minute in preparing this message. Because I love God, it's easy to say, look, I will love you because I love God. That sounds sound, but the reality is, I love you because God loved me. And because God loved me, I learned how to love you. Romans 5:5. Now hope, now I want to stop right there on that word hope. Hope is experiencing God's love personally. Experience works hope. Our relationship with God develops hope. I've seen God work in my life. I've seen the life markers in my life. I've seen how God has got me through certain things in my life. I can look back on that and see God's hand on my life. Therefore, whatever I'm facing here, I know that I have the confidence of what God has done in the past to have the confidence that God will take care of me now in the future. And so now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It was God who first loved us, and again reiterated here in Romans 5:5, that the Holy Spirit has poured out in our hearts his love. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we recognize God communicating through his word or by his spirit, his love for us, it's not deserving, it is humbling, but it does create I'm at a lack for words here. It creates a wow factor that says, that's humbling and that says, God, I can't believe how much you love me. But if people see that love transition from us to them, they'll say, I can't believe how much you care about me. Right? Right? Our personal experiences are proof of God's love. When we have hope, that hope increases our faith in him, and in turn we love others. Why? Because God pours out his love on us by his Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Remembering without ceasing what? Your work of faith, labor of love. My work of faith, the only reason why I work for God is because of the faith of accepting that God loves me, interacts with me, I have a relationship with him that's meaningful to me, that's growing that my relationship with Christ is growing, and therefore, because of my faith in him and what he's done in my life, and because of who he is and my relationship with him, that I'm involved in his work, which is a labor of love. So we should always be working with a heart that's out of love for God. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowledge through the experience of God is our hope. Loving people is advancing God's work. God wants to show us love to all people. And he's chosen you and I to be the vessel to do it. But it comes through our relationship with him, our faithfulness to him, that we can share his love with others. I got to confess something. Let's go on to 1 Timothy, and then I'll tell you. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Finally, in Galatians 5:14, we come back full circle. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's my confession. When I was praying about this message, I said, Lord, I need you to carry this message. Just like every Sunday, I need you to carry this message. There are times up here in the pulpit where I feel just demonic attack and feel like there's no connection. And then I step down and people say, wow, God was really speaking to me. And I realize the warfare that goes on. So I was talking to the Lord earlier, and I said, Lord, you know I'm not adequate to present the truth of your word. I can present scripture, but I can't present the truth, the spiritual enlightenment. Only you can do that. If you can cause the rocks to cry out praises to your name, if Satan can look at Jesus in the wilderness and tempt him and say, you're hungry, so command these stones to be bread so you can eat, you certainly can take a vessel and use it to communicate your word. I don't know if that, does that make sense? I'm going to close with this. And I'm hesitant to say this because the goal is to bring honor and glory to God. Because of God, I will wrap this up. I have a picture in my mind. I shared this with Lauren one day, of a trumpet preacher presenting God's word. I said, I feel like the trumpet's been run over by the car. And it's flat. It's of no use. It doesn't work. It's flat. I feel like I'd like to do that and take the trumpet and mount it on a board and hang it on the wall in my office to remind me that I may look at myself and say, you are nothing but a flat, unusable trumpet. But if God can cause the bread to sing praise to God, cause the stones to sing praise to God, if God can turn stones to bread to eat, if God can call you know, do whatever he wants, he certainly can take a broken trumpet, because I know who I am, and use it for him. Now my fear, my hesitation was, I don't want that directed toward me, because I want Jesus to be saved. If you and I will just remember that no matter how inadequate we are, by God's grace in our life, we can effectively show God's love to others. It's not about who we are. It's him working through us because of our faith in him. So a run-over, flattened trumpet doesn't matter. Terry, it doesn't matter. What matters is what I'm going to do through you, what I have proposed for you. And you and I are called to share God's love, even though we don't feel adequate in doing so. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you. Father, I just have to be, that was kind of tough to share. And again, my biggest concern was directing to me. That's not my intent. But I see you, dear Holy Spirit, using it to remind not only me, but to remind each one of us that no matter how we view ourselves, you view us differently. That no matter how hard we come down on ourselves, you love us unconditionally. that no matter how inadequate we are, you are fully and completely adequate to do your work through us. So help us as your people just to be humble before you. Maybe just by acknowledging, Lord, you know, I'm useless in myself to be used for you and your glory in any way. But I know that I'm useful because of you in my life. And so help us to have that heart before you, to be humble, but to be willing to be to acknowledge our shortcomings, but to trust you, to be the strength, to be the courage, to be all that we need to be who you created each one of us to be. And help us, Father, really, truly, to have a heart of love for people that reflects your love for people. Give us courage to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.